Extra mayo. 3, 2. Good afternoon.
Oh no. Oh no.
Were you not ready?
I was.
Good afternoon, everybody. Oh,
hello.
Good afternoon.
Hey, yes.
Good afternoon. Hey.
Oh god. One of those days.
We're in a weird short today.
It's June.
Is that what it is?
Oh, wait. Wait.
What?
Sound the alarms. Sound the alarms.
Oh, God!
Wee-woo! Wee-woo!
Okay. Well, those are all very different alarms.
I'm confused.
Adam.
What?
It's June.
Okay.
Don't you know what that means?
I don't know what that means.
As we all know.
Boom.
Okay. Boom. All right, I'm shutting the alarm off. Hold on a second, Adam. All right.
Okay, alarms are off.
Alarms are off.
Wait, you just hit the snooze button.
Oh, shit.
And now it's a five-second snooze time before... Oh, no! Oh, look!
Man, we lost the audience before we
had snooze button where it's like 9 minutes.
Oh, that would have been a good bet. That would have been good. Well, then we had the patience for that bit.
I am so lost.
I have the patience for that.
What are you talking about?
I actually don't know. But what I do know is that June...
Yeah.
Means only one thing.
Only one.
What
does
that mean?
One thing? One thing and only.
It's Chuck Barris month.
Yeah, baby! Our Lord and Savior.
As we all know.
Charles Barris.
Who I only discovered.
Charles Barris. That's
a week. Who I only discovered a week ago, by the way.
Well, every year, for the month of June, we celebrate Chuck Barris. I mean, it's been a tradition since he died. So...
That's gonna be funny to, like, six people.
Yes.
Yeah. Right.
So, we are spending the entire month of June celebrating the life and extraordinary achievements of Sir Chuck Barris.
He was definitely not British. He was definitely not a British man.
Hold on. I like how you didn't say, oh no, he never got knighted. You were like, he's definitely not British.
Because all
British... if he was British, he'd be knighted.
They're all sirs, aren't they? That's how it works.
You're just... Yes, eventually.
Obviously. Yes, absolutely.
You just have to get that point in your life.
Right. Yeah. Right.
If I could become a sir at some point.
Yeah, you went to England, so.
Yeah.
I'm surprised you didn't get it while you were there.
I'm basically English at this point, right?
He's a half sir.
Yes. Fun fact, guys.
Listen.
You're
definitely spiritually British.
You want to talk
in that I want to punch you in the face every time you say something.
Whoa.
Well, yeah. No, I agree. After my thoughts on our last little movie talk thing, it was getting heat. No, it wasn't that bad. It wasn't getting too sexy. It was sensual.
It was movie hopping.
Very.
Check it out, folks.
Very sensual.
Why do you put so much emphasis on the L?
Folks.
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 Folks. If I don't, then I say folks.
Yes.
Oh, no,
false.
That sounds better than
it. That's how you say it. Hey, folks.
Hey, folks.
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 You don't say. Oh, no. Never mind. Yeah. I'm going to say something stupid.
We should say, by the way, this is our first post. Too many thoughts. Why is this a thing?
Mm-hmm. I suppose it is. Yeah,
we're living in a too many thoughts world, and man, is it a scary one? This is our new website.
I have a few thoughts about it.
Yes, it's our new website.
Not too many of them. Not too many though.
Some might say
yes. TooManyThoughtsMedia.com, TMT.media. That's where you're listening to this here show right now. And yes, it's time to honor Chuck Barris. It's June. It's Chuck Barris month.
That's right.
And we have quite the lineup for you. This is our newest series. We're making a push to bring on all these new listeners, and then we're going to be talking about an obscure game show host for 4 weeks.
Yep.
Can't wait.
Hey, well, that's how we do things around here.
Absolutely.
That's how we roll.
That is how we roll.
I'm pretty sure that's rule number one of good podcasting.
Yeah.
When you get a bunch of new people on. Do something stupid.
Do something with no mainstream appeal whatsoever.
At all.
None.
Yeah.
My dad, though, has talked about this show before.
No.
My mother knew what it was.
Yes.
The Gong Show.
Yes.
Oh, yes.
Well, yeah. No, it's not that people don't know what it is. The people who listen don't know what
it is.
Well,
nobody listens to us because they want to be mainstream anyways.
Right. The Gong Show was a very popular show in the 70s.
Oh, yeah.
It ran for... I'm blanking on the exact runtime, but at least like 8 seasons or so.
Oh, just so we clear the waters here, The Gong Show was a show created by Chuck Barris.
Yes.
Little sidetrack there.
Change topics suddenly.
Yeah. We probably should have called it Gong Show Month, but no, it's Chuck Barris.
Well, because we're not just focusing on The Gong Show.
Right.
Well, because what's more fascinating, Chuck Barris or The Gong Show?
Well, yes.
Chuck Barris.
Yeah. Certainly.
Well, maybe. We'll see.
Here's the plan.
We'll find out.
Now we can outline it because the cat's out of the bag here. This is the plan for the next month. And you can follow along with us as well. Chuck Bears died this year.
Follow along at home.
He died in March of this year.
Yep.
He will sadly be missed. He was a producer and, of course, game show host. He created the shows The Gong Show, The Dating Game, and The Newlywed Game, all very successful and also fairly influential in the lineage of unscripted television. I mean, there are remnants of America's Got Talent and American Idol and all of those talent shows in The Gong Show. And I doubt very much that any of those shows would exist if The Gong Show did not exist. Chuck Barris hosted The Gong Show, is a crazy fellow, and we wanted to not only honor his death, but also wanted to use this series as a countdown.
Honor his death?
Yes, honor his life, really.
Honor the death.
Celebrate his death, really. Yes. That's what we meant. I'm sorry.
Honor his life, celebrate his death. This is a countdown for the upcoming revival of The Gong Show, hosted by a man by the name of Tommy Maitland, and we'll talk about him in the coming weeks.
Yes.
Yes.
Right? Fair to say?
Yes. No, yeah.
Okay.
Which, he's a very interesting character as well.
Absolutely. A real career that I'm excited to talk about and dig into a little bit. So we will be recapping the revival of The Gong Show at the end of the month for week 4 of this series. Next week, we will be talking about The Gong Show movie, widely considered one of the worst movies ever made, was a horrible flop at the box office and was buried for decades until the last couple of years when it was finally released on Blu-ray. We're going to talk about that next week. Then we're going to talk about the film Confessions of a Dangerous Mind, directed by George Clooney, starring Sam Rockwell, and about the secret life of Chuck Barris. That's coming in week 3. Week 4, as I said, is the revival of The Gong Show. And just like that, we have a whole month's worth of podcasts. Okay? But today, we're going to give a little bit of an overview. This is our default Gong Show recap podcast. The four of us have done our homework, or some of us.
Sort of.
Have done our homework.
We did enough homework.
We did enough. A little
bit. I did my homework like I do homework for school, i.e. I did it right before it was due.
Yes. You crammed it in homeroom.
Yes.
pretty accurate description right there.
Yes. We're going to be talking about some of our favorite
Nick, in this
acts.
Case, did it on the bus.
Yes.
I did.
He did it on the bus. And I did it the night before like a good boy. You know,
Adam
forgot we even had homework. That was
No.
He's the guy that showed up. Like,
well, this is very indicative of our actual high school
Adam
careers.
Adam has an essay in front of him. Typed
I have
stapled.
Stuff.
Are there citations on that? Is that an MLA format?
APA.
No.
APA.
That is not.
APA Chicago.
Unfortunately, so I'm fucked. I'm basically fucked. No. No, I just didn't watch enough clips of the show.
Right.
That's about it.
Absolutely. But anyway, we're going to talk about our thoughts on The Gong Show, a little bit of an oral history.
We're going to play some clips for you guys, too.
We're going to play some clips here, and it'll hopefully be a fun time. It's Chuck Barris month. Nicholas.
Yes, sir.
Say something.
Happy Chuck Barris month. What do you want me to say?
What are we talking about?
Well,
here?
Actually, okay, I want to tease something here because I was just at my house with Zach here, and I made a last minute purchase.
Oh God!
Yes.
I bought Chuck Barris's book, Confessions of a Dangerous Mind.
No.
We found it for $6 on Amazon.
Used.
Yeah.
I'm going to try, and it's going to come in next week, and I'm going to read it by the end of the month.
You're gonna read the whole book?
Yeah, it's not that long, I'm sure. I don't doubt.
You're gonna sit down and read Chuck Barris's book?
Yeah.
I love that. That's commitment.
Yeah, we gotta. I wanna get in the guy's head.
I'll believe it when I see it.
I wanna get in the guy's head.
Oh.
You know I read every night, man.
I know you do.
Yeah.
I'll probably get through the book in a week.
This is an interesting thing to add to that that cycle. I love that. That's a good read. Awesome.
So we'll have some more info coming. No, we all looked into some little bits. I found an interesting post to commemorate Chuck Barris's life and death on – I feel like that's the safest way to say it. Life and death.
All really blended into one at the end of the day.
It was a People.com post.
Okay.
10 memorable Gong Show clips to celebrate Chuck Barris.
Okay.
This has some very famous and – interesting little bits in there. So if we want to just go through these, or if we each have
are the popsicle twins on there?
Yes, they are.
Yeah.
Do you want to start with the Popsicle Twins?
No,
I don't.
You don't want to start at the end.
I have something about the Popsicle Twins as well. So.
Oh, dear.
We'll get there. Well, these are probably a lot of the similar facts that we saw. But here's the thing with The Gong Show, right? It's a show that debuted in 1976.
Mm-hmm.
It has ran in several formats over the years. I think the original run went till 1978, so it went a whole 12 years.
76 to 78? Or 88?
88, yes.
Okay.
88.
2 years and 12 years, much different.
Yes, okay, sorry.
So yeah, it was successful. 12 years long is...
It was a really popular show. It has been on Comedy Central since. They've done reboots and spinoffs of that we'll get to in a little bit. But the whole premise of it was this is a satirical variety show.
I mean, it's kind of like... what would it be, like the X Factor or America's Got Talent in a way?
Yes.
Before any of that, really.
100%. It's 100% the same show.
It's a talent show. That's bottom line, it's a talent show. But
amateur talent.
Bad.
Yes.
I would use the word bad.
Yes.
Kind of a comedy show, kind of a sketch show, but at its core, the format was that of a talent show. Acts would come on, they would perform for 45 seconds in front of a judging panel of three judges. A concept that was literally stolen 20 years later by American Idol. The act would perform. A lot of times they were pretty bad, and that was the comedy of it. Also, American Idol stole that with its audition process.
William Hung,
all that sort of stuff.
Yep.
Chuck Barris would stand to the side with his hat over his eyes, dancing and making obscene gestures. Not that obscene, but just being a crazy person, essentially, off screen.
Just imagine in 30, 40 years, you know, these four kids are going to be sitting in their basement doing a show about this obscure guy named Ryan Seacrest.
Yes.
that's essentially what we're doing, in a way.
I think it's more similar to Nick Cannon on that other on America's Got Talent.
Yeah.
He would sort of stand to the side of the stage, and he would interact with people, and it was, you know what I mean? He would sort of be like the cheerleader for the talent. Right. Ryan Seacrest did the same thing outside of the audition room, and you would perform, and if the judge liked you, they would give you a score. If the judges liked you, they'd give you a score at the end, and whoever had the highest score for that day won that day. And if they didn't like you, they would turn around and hit the gong, a giant gong placed behind the panel. That gong is literally the X buttons on America's Got Talent.
Yeah,
literally.
It's the exact same concept.
Except, The Gong Show, I guess one of the key differences between all these shows and that is that those shows are cleaned up.
Sure. Right?
The Gong Show is straight chaos.
Yeah.
To the point that the judges would literally fight each other because one wanted to hit the gong and the other did not want to hit the gong. And, I mean...
That's beautiful.
There was really literal chaos on here. Can you pull up this article I've been talking about? Absolutely. The people.com?
Absolutely.
Because there's some YouTube clips embedded into it.
Okay.
I believe it's like the fifth clip down, but... I haven't watched this yet, okay? I kind of want us all to watch these and see our first impressions. But it says something about basically seeing the pure chaos of The Gong Show. That's all it says.
Right.
It's weird, though, because this...
It says, just a weird and wonderful example of the kind of madness that was standard on The Gong Show. That's all it says. I mean...
All right, here we go. Let's go.
So it should be people.
To celebrate Chuck Barris. Right here. Here
we
go. Oh, my God.
And there's been a lot of it. We'll talk about all the access a little bit.
Keep scrolling.
But we're going to go right now.
Yep. Keep going.
This, right?
Yeah.
This.
Yep.
Okay.
So I have no idea what this is even.
This is JP Arty and Jamie Go Nuts. And these are, JP Arty and Jamie. These are three of the famous panelists.
Right. JP Morgan.
Who we'll talk about in a bit. Artie, who I don't remember, and Jamie, who was on MASH. Jamie Parr is one of the main guys on MASH. He was a panelist a lot. You'll recognize the face. So here we go.
Almost live. It's the Gong Show.
Live house band. A lot of flashing lights. Very 70s and all over the place. Hot broad as the announcer.
Is this that your excuse to use hot broad?
Yes, it is.
Hot lady!
Lady.
Oh my God.
Chuck Barris comes flying in from the sky.
On a swing.
On a swing.
A literal actual
swing. And he has a rose and he's wearing a tuxedo. Normally he's wearing a tuxedo.
He almost slips and eats fucking pavement.
Welcome. It's Gong Show time again, folks.
Okay, hold on. Pause. He does this clapping thing. Here's the thing about the clap, and I read this in a fun fact after the fact. This was a nervous tick that Chuck Barris had because he had never been an on-screen talent before. He was a producer on this show, and he sort of came in the 11th hour after the original host of the show didn't work out. So he would do this thing because he was so nervous and antsy, probably something that you would do if you hosted a game show.
I clap a lot, actually. Right? I can tell you, I actually clap in the office.
Yes. So he does this clapping thing. Eventually, this became an inside joke. And audience members in the crowd would clap along with him every time he clapped, right?
Oh, no.
So whenever he would do this, you can sort of hear faintly in the background audience members clapping along. Now, this became such a running gag that you'll see every once in a while Chuck Barris trying to fake out the audience. So he'll go in and, like, clap halfway but not close his hands, and the audience you would see would clap, and he's like, oh, I gotcha. It was such a staple. It's such a weird staple. Is so characteristic of, again, the weirdness and chaos of this show. But we'll keep going.
Oh, my gosh.
Try and show you a variety of entertainment. So right after today's show, stick around. We'll be demonstrating the lost art of setting trash cans on fire. And in the meantime, welcome to Norfolk, Virginia, Al Orsnes.
This is an old man. And he's snapping his fingers. What is that?
It looks like, is he playing the spoons?
He's got some sort of weird instrument. Chuck Barris is playing the guitar.
What the fuck is this?
And Jimmy Parr's leading the mic.
Okay.
Maybe she'll be fine.
Yeah, I think it's fun.
Okay.
Oh, and there's still another minute left of this one.
Okay, let's.
Wow. No, we're sitting here.
Oh, we're sitting. All right. This is probably about the fifth or sixth clip down on the People article.
And Jamie Farr is going to gong the man?
That was
Nobody
it.
Went nuts.
Oh, when are they going to go nuts, dude?
Nick, you really should have screened this video.
Hey, well.
Oh, nothing happened.
Oh, is this part of a playlist?
I sure hope not.
That it is. Well, that paid off well.
Hey, all the worst things happen.
Way to go. Way to not do your homework. No, here's what you are. You're the teacher that brought in an old VHS tape to show to the kids on movie day and didn't realize that there was porn on it. That's what you just
well,
did.
Well, it was the sex tape.
Hold on. Did this happen?
Oh, this has happened.
This is the teacher's own sex tape.
Can I just emphasize that nothing that just happened was even remotely close to porn? If it was, we'd have a better podcast right now.
Excellent. Well,
which actually reminds me of another clip, but we'll wait.
Yeah, we'll get there.
Yeah, we'll get there. Absolutely. Sorry. Okay, yeah. Here's the thing, and this is a little bit more about the history of the show. This was intended... Part of the brilliance of this show is the sort of back and forth that you can clearly see going on behind the scenes from the producers of the show and Chuck Barris himself. This is very much Chuck Barris's vision. This is what he wanted. This is the show that he wanted to make, and I think that people really liked it. But those in control of the network and other producers that worked on the show sort of wanted this to be a straight talent show. Chuck Barris was very keen on making it a little more satirical, a little more crazy, and with some more bad acts and essentially absurdist art. So the original host of the show, when he came on, and I'm blanking on the man's name.
John Barber.
What?
Yep, John Barber.
John Barber.
I did some homework.
Okay. Well, at least someone did.
I have homework on specific topics.
We'll get there. John Barber was brought on and really didn't work because he didn't get what the show was supposed to be about. Chuck Barris... got it, even if nobody else did. And was so out of his mind and so crazy on set. And it led people to believe that he was either on a lot of drugs or drinking quite a bit. What did you guys read about this? Because I read something that shocked me.
Okay, Zach, what was actually going on?
Zach looked up Chuck Barris
and drugs. Yeah, like right before Nick and I got here, I looked up Chuck Barris drugs on Google. Mm-hmm. And I came across a few articles. It looks like they used the same quote, but it basically was an interview with Chuck Barris. And he was like, yeah, everyone thought I was on drugs. I wasn't. I was just having, like, fun.
Yeah. That's what, like, he claims. That's,
yeah.
That's what he claims.
He claims that he wasn't on... I mean, I think he was. But he claims he wasn't on drugs.
When was he quoted on this, do you know? Was this, like, in the 70s, or was this
it was, it was. It was pretty well after the show ended.
Okay, so, I mean, then he's lying. because everyone did drugs in the 70s. That was the thing to do.
You call him bullshit here?
Really?
I could call bullshit. I don't know. After seeing that...
I mean, we do know that, and we'll find this out later, that he's a bit of a habitual liar, Chuck Barris. Yeah, so. But...
a bit.
There's something about his personality. He's so quirky, and he hosts the show with such childlike glee. He doesn't really... I don't know if he's quite in on the joke or not in on the joke, but he feels innocent to me. And I feel like I want to live in a world where Chuck Barris didn't do drugs. He even said in an interview that he did not allow drugs on the set. Anybody that worked on the show was not allowed to use drugs. They were going to make the show that they wanted to make, and they were not going to let drugs get in the way. I don't know. Like, I'm quirky, and I do. I mean, I don't know if I necessarily do that thing where he looks surly all the time, and he's holding his hat above his eyes, and I don't know. Maybe. Maybe I want to believe him.
I want to believe that he wasn't doing drugs.
Yeah.
But, I mean, but then we look at this clip where he was very, I don't want to say well-behaved. It sounds like he's a child. But
he is a child.
Then we get to, like, Gene, the dancing machine, and he's... look like he's whacked out on coke, running around, throwing, like, stuff. And...
well, it looks like there are points when he, like, leans over the side of the desk to snort some coke.
Yeah.
let's dig into some of these famous bits.
Let's do it.
Because this is where things really get the wildest on this show. Mm-hmm. All right.
Who do you want to go talk about first?
Well, we just mentioned Gene, so let's...
Gene.
You want to give him a taste of Gene, and let's, you want to get into JP?
Sure. Okay. So... there were a number of recurring acts on the Gong Show. Probably the most famous is a man by the name of Gene the Dancing Machine. A very large African-American fellow that was on, I think, in the double digits, at least a dozen times or whatever. And he did a dance routine to the exact same song every single time. And when you heard the music, you knew what the deal was.
Tell me this man's not on drugs right now. You're seeing his expression right now. He is not even able to look.
I love the outfit. And he's holding a hockey stick for some reason. He just had random props hanging around.
Swinging it around.
This is so fucking weird.
And here comes Gene.
So they're throwing shit at Gene while he's dancing. Yes. Like hats and scarves and...
because it was sort of a striptease type thing. Right? That was the point of it.
That was the point of it, yeah.
Oh my god. People are really turned on by Gene.
He's groovy.
Yep.
I give him that.
The judges go crazy. The judges start throwing clothing. And I guess we can get into this right now.
Yeah, we don't need to watch the whole clip. We've seen
But let's keep the music going.
Let's keep the music going for a little bit. J.P. Morgan. Talk to me about this panelist, because she was on quite a bit.
All right, so not J.P. Morgan the bank, first off. Unfortunately.
Yes.
She was a singer named J.A.Y.E. P. Morgan. And we're watching it right now. During this particular act, she was pretty famous, too. She
was
literally...
was she pretty famous?
She was relatively famous. She was more famous for being a game show host on various shows than for her singing career, but that's what got her started. And I think people from game shows also knew her as a singer.
Yes.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But she legitimately... and this is the 70s, man. They're on drugs, I'm telling you. She flashes her tits at the camera.
Whore. No, you had that right.
she flashes her tits, which I believe she was like in her 40s at the time of filming this.
I don't care. I don't care what age
maybe,
she was.
But she flashes her tits at the camera.
That happens.
And it's on YouTube. Yes. And you can see everything. Like,
it's for a split second. But there is legitimate nudity. She was getting into Gene, and she decided to flash her tits to a national viewing public.
Yes.
Yep.
It was censored on television, obviously.
Yeah, I think on television they probably didn't even show it at all.
So here's the thing. That clip with the titties, I do believe it actually, it did air. But
really?
Yes, wow. It did air with the censor over it. The uncensored version of that clip was first seen in the Gong Show movie. And so that's what we'll be talking about next week.
Oh,
so
wow.
We'll learn a little bit more about her. This was one of the reasons, and there are several, one of the reasons why the Gong Show was ultimately canceled. I mean, when you...
Yeah, because that happened, and then they said, yeah, no, you're not welcome back. And then only a few weeks after that, they decided to pull the plug on the entire show.
Well, Chuck Barris was always kind of challenging censors, though.
Yeah.
He was kind of known for that.
And there's an act we'll talk about in a bit where
they came on. Killing
I want to see this.
Yeah,
so
they
bad.
Came on. And, yep, there it is.
We'll get there.
Yeah. They came on, they did their act, and I guess it was the producers and, like, the censor board came and said, yeah, either you stop and make it more family friendly, or we're pulling the plug. And he did not stop. he tried basically calling their bluff.
Yes.
But they were not bluffing.
Right.
Like, at all.
And so, so she was one of the recurring judges.
Right.
So, was she kicked off? Is that what you're saying? She
yeah,
was banned,
they,
right?
Yeah, they shit-canned her. And then only a few weeks later, they announced that they were canceling the show.
That must have made her feel better.
Yeah, well. J.P. Morgan, really known. I mean, this is... Certainly, I think her most famous role.
Yeah,
I don't think she ever made any hit songs or anything, but was just sort of a comedy act on this comedy show. Still though, kind of Paula Abdul vibes, right?
Similar sort
of thing, right? Really crazy. I could see Paula if they kept Paula on American Idol like three seasons after they canned her. She definitely would have shown her tits at one point. Paula was like off the chains on that show.
Yeah,
she would show up to set drunk. She like had sex with one of the contestants. It was like bad.
Sanjaya, yeah. Is that who she had sex? Sanjaya,
not Sanjaya.
I think she definitely had sex.
Who
with
was
Sanjaya.
It?
One of the guys that they kicked him off because he had sex with Paul.
Oh,
that was like the thing. It was like Hollywood Week, and she had sex with him, and that was it. Because you know you can't do that.
That's a little unfair. A little unfair.
Just a little bit.
Right. A little favoritism that the old...
It would have been great, though, if he slept with her. And then he auditioned, and she was like, no.
I'm going to be honest, though. Like, between, like, great. Winning American Idol and sleeping with Paula Abdul, I probably would have messed up.
Oh, no.
I probably would have slept with Paula Abdul.
Those are your choices. You get to be Eskimo Brothers with Simon Cowell. I mean, it's great. They have banged so much. I know for a fact they've banged.
You've been saying this for years.
Of course.
It's buddy Simon.
Paul Abdul and
Simon. Oh, he knows for a fact Simon told him.
Yeah. Oh, my God. I was friends with Simon Cowell. No, of course they've banged.
Yeah, definitely.
You see the way those two look at each other? They're like in love.
Definitely.
Anyway.
There's another famous bit on here.
Oh, there is. Yeah, let's get into it.
And I actually, this is the guy I did my extensive research on.
Okay.
Which is the unknown comic.
Here's right. for
now
it.
I know you said Gene Gene the Dancing Machine was the most famous bit on here. I have to beg to differ.
Okay,
this guy appeared on the Gong Show over 150 episodes.
What the hell? We should mention this is a daily show, so that helps a little bit. But still,
150 appearances.
Holy shit!
Now, I want to get into this guy a little bit. Okay,
hit me.
Do you want to watch the clip first, or do you want to
watch the clip?
Okay, let's watch the clip. So basically, he's a comedian here, and you could press play. And he has a bag over his head.
Folks, has sort of become a trope since.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The comic with the bag over their head.
See
the clapping?
Soap suds. Here, folks. Here comes the buns. Here to pep up that murky day around your apartment. Here comes the Baron of Buffalo. The Wizard of Whoopi.
The Wizard of Whoopi.
What? Jeez. Oh my god. Okay.
Old man unknown comic. He has a beard and a cane.
That's the unknown geezer. Wait a minute. Shut the curtain.
Shut the curtain. They shut the curtain on.
What's more? Come on. You're right. Ladies and
what does he have on his neck?
It looks like he has like shaving cream all over his neck.
Here comes the Wizard of
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Unknown comic!
I don't believe it, by the way. I still don't believe it.
Okay, don't hold in your laughs, folks. It creates gas. That's right. The more laughs you hold in, the more gas you create. You're only end up spoiling the evening for everyone. So everybody, give me an H. Give me an A. Give me an H. Give me an A. What's it spell? There, don't you feel better? Hollywood party last week. Wilt Chamberlain was there. I thought I'd be cool. I said, hey, Wilt, how's the weather up there? He said it's raining and he spit on me. Well, it could have been worse. I was in his restaurant yesterday. Right, waiter comes over. He has his thumb on my steak. I said, what are you doing with your thumb on my steak? He said, I didn't want to drop it again.
That's actually pretty good.
Lucky I made it here today. Oh, you know, my car broke down.
Sailor hat on.
The spark plugs wouldn't spark. The generator wouldn't gen. And the... Get out.
Oh, you get it? Yeah. The mic died. Didn't really die. He's saying all the things weren't working. It's a bad joke.
Yeah, it is a bad joke.
That was sort of the point. Tell me more about this guy.
All right, so, okay. This guy was interesting.
Okay.
His name is Murray Langston. Right now, he's 71. He's still kicking.
Is he still with
really?
Us? He is
still with us, as far as I know.
Okay.
And,
Because Gene the Dancing Machine is not. Didn't he die
Gene,
of drug
Gene died
or something?
Regrettably.
No. Dude, we gotta talk about Gene.
Oh,
he got his legs got removed.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yes.
But let's get into that.
This
in a
is horrible.
So this guy's Canadian. He had a really bad home life when he was a kid. And he actually had to like, move out by 15. Joined the military in America, and that's how he became an American.
Mm-hmm. America,
fuck yeah!
But anyways,
we don't care where you're from. If you want to fight for us, you're fighting for us.
Yes. Got out of the military and started doing comedy. Okay, apparently this guy. Made it big. So this is all before the Gong Show, mind you. He made it big by doing impressions of a fork, a tube of toothpaste, and a grandfather clock.
What?
I don't know what the fuck that means, but it's okay. On Wikipedia. So
Hold on. I found a clip of actually some of his old acting. I'm going to play it for you right now.
Oh, ready? God.
Oh, no.
Does it involve a fork, a tube of toothpaste, and a grandfather clock?
It might.
How do you convincingly impersonate a fork?
That, I'm trying to figure out how you get famous doing that.
Yes, that too.
Ping. 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 What is that?
It's a fork.
Okay.
It's a clip. It's the clip. We're playing the clip. Okay. Here we go. Tube of toothpaste. Here we go.
God.
I mean, just playing the YouTube clip.
Right, right, right. Press play.
I'm excited.
Here we go. Play. Just playing the clip. I mean, I don't know. I never said it was good. I'm just playing the, you know. The clip.
This is the worst bit we've ever
done. Nobody, here's the grandfather clock bit. Let me play it right here. I'm cuckoo!
It's a cuckoo clock, but okay.
I would have been like, it's 6 o'clock, get off my lawn. okay.
Go ahead.
So this guy, he actually appeared on a lot of shows. You know, the Midnight Social?
Yeah, obviously.
Okay, Sonny and Cher's Comedy Hour.
Wow!
Over 100 appearances on Sonny and Cher's Comedy Hour.
Not surprising.
How?
A lot of time to fill on Sonny and Cher's Comedy. You gotta fill a whole hour every night.
But, so this guy had a pretty decent career. He had worked with Joan Rivers and Jim Carrey.
What?
Wow.
Okay. He actually started working with Freeman King. I don't know. But he was. I was hoping you would know who it was.
He said it so matter of fact.
So he worked with Freeman King on Sonny and Cher. So they had like a duo. So that's how he's famous from.
Okay. Got you.
Now, he ended up investing in a nightclub / restaurant called Showbiz.
All
right.
Okay.
Michael Keaton worked there at one point. Mm-hmm. David Letterman and Freddie Prinze Sr.
Wow.
So, and then the nightclub made him go broke.
Why?
Because he was paying for this nightclub and it wasn't, he wasn't making money.
Yeah.
He went broke.
Okay.
And he hit rock bottom. And then he decided to take an offer from the Gong Show. This is where it came from. So he was, I don't want to say he was on the top of the world, but he was doing okay and he was associated with these famous people, right? And he was so embarrassed about having to go on the Gong Show that he put on a paper bag.
Wow.
Ooh.
So it was really out of necessity.
So he is on this show because he's poor. And he's putting the paper bag on because he's ashamed.
So there's a lot of truth to the character.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's not really just, you know, oh, I'm pretending to be ashamed. He's literally ashamed of...
Yes, absolutely.
Of this horrible comedy.
Years and years later, he ended up taking this bit, the unknown comic, to other shows. And he actually got unbagged. Mm-hmm. And he ended up, like, admitting who he was and everything years down the road. Mm-hmm. But for most of the entirety of his time at the Gong Show, you know, he was just ashamed. That was his reason for being there.
Wow.
Yeah.
What a sad story of the unknown
but
comic.
What I find fascinating is, like, to me, this is kind of like the unknown people of Hollywood or however you want to call it. It's not just about the unknown comic. I'm thinking about all of these people who exist on the sidelines who we never really hear of, but they're associated with all of these people.
It's most of them, really.
Mm. It's fascinating, though.
Most people in show business are ones that you never hear of.
Yeah.
You only hear about the success stories. You don't really hear about the failures.
Yeah.
But it's true. There's so many of these guys that are just starving artists.
He worked with Jim Carrey when Jim Carrey was first starting. He's one of the people who,
I don't think that's pre-Gong Show, right? That's pretty early on.
When was In Living Color?
In Living Color was the 90s.
90s.
Okay.
Yeah, that's where Jim Carrey got his start. So maybe he worked on that show, I don't know.
I think he worked on other things. I think it was post-Gong Show, but he did work with Jim Carrey a little bit when he was getting started, so.
Okay.
His daughter actually became a musician, and she used to work with Britney Spears as well.
Wow. So really, I mean, you're right, though. This is the sort of underbelly of, or the fringes, I should say, of Hollywood, for sure.
I gotta wonder how many people on the Gong Show were, like, the fringes of Hollywood that just say, oh, well, here's where I am.
All of them.
Really,
no,
right?
No, the judges, too. I mean, they describe the judges as C-list and D-list celebrities.
So like, sad. When they bring them on?
Yeah, no, 100%. That's they are self-described C-list and D-list celebrities.
Oh, man.
The most famous judges were, what? I saw Bill Bixby was on one time, The Incredible Hulk.
Okay.
Interesting.
Man.
There were, I guess Steve Martin did it a few times. We should talk about Steve Martin.
Yeah, Steve Martin is actually, he's one of the clips on here.
Yeah, I was going to say, I have a fact about him being an act and a judge later on.
Right, so he was a judge, but it's true. These are the rejects. This is the misfits, and that's what sort of makes the Gong Show so great, you know?
Right, I mean, a lot of famous people have had their, you know, associations with the Gong Show, though, as well.
Yes.
Paul Rubin was on this.
Paul Rubin?
Paul Rubin.
I couldn't remember his first name.
Yep.
That, and you know him, right?
Pee-wee Herman.
Pee-wee Herman.
Pee-wee Herman was on as a duo. I have the clip, actually, for you right here. They are called...
Do you actually have the clip?
Yep. they are called Suave and Debonair.
Oh, boy.
And this is...
We're really suave and debonair. We'll put our coats across a bus so you can cross it.
That's Pee-wee.
We'll cut our hair for you to look like
there it is.
When you try one of us, you'll have to try the other.
Is that a puppet next to the judge?
We'll give you the top billing. I think the laugh is chilling. We'll take you if you're willing. Who just the thought is thrilling? We're in it.
This is horrendous.
It's great.
I love it.
Okay.
All right, that was a weird ending to that video.
Okay. No, man, that's there were so many of those comics it's so funny that something like this would be the platform for them. You know, like this is the only real option at the time. It's not like now where you can have a podcast or a YouTube series or whatever. You know, you can do stuff on your own. Or even now there's a million different late night shows this is sort of before that.
It's almost harder now, though, because there's so much. It's like congested.
Sure, yeah.
There's different, you know, different issues there. I mean, you know, even though this seems like a rock bottom kind of thing, at the time, if you said, hey, you know, we got on the Gong Show, that could be a pretty big... It could be.
It's something.
A place to get you started.
Absolutely.
Only
10% of applicants I saw this were actually accepted onto the show.
That's pretty good odds.
Yeah.
Actually. Well, not bad.
For a show like this, though, every day and of all the bad acts they put on there, fact that they are that selective with their bad acts, pretty weird. Weird Al Yankovic actually auditioned for this show and did not make it.
Elfman has performed.
Well, I was about to get into
Oingo
that.
Boingo.
I was literally just about to get
there you
into
go.
That. Oingo Boingo. I don't want to say they got their start there necessarily, but...
Just talking to a coworker.
Yeah.
A coworker that may or may not listen to this podcast. About random bands, and she
brought up
Oingo Boingo to me. Never heard of him, and says, "Yeah, that's Danny Elfman's band."
Yeah,
I'm like, Danny Elfman had like a pop band before
it's
he
like
became
ska.
A composer. Yeah,
yeah,
ska music. Now, I mean, did you know? I mean, the episode they were on. Here's what I read. I haven't seen this clip yet.
Okay.
I read two things. One, they appeared on the show and they won that episode.
Yes.
And two, their act involved an accordion, a purple dragon, and a gaseous rocket man.
Accurate. Let's play.
Don't know what any of that means. Let's watch it.
We'll find out.
Now I understand why Tim Burton would want to work with him.
That makes sense.
We will now play the rarely performed Haydn trio for piano, accordion, and triangle. Thank you.
What?
I'm so into this. Oh, God. And a dragon is on the set.
Okay.
And there are rocket ships. And there's a giant brass section.
One with red hair is probably Danny Elfman.
This is Danny Elfman?
Yep.
He's this guy.
I'm just saying this isn't, like, good.
And the dragon is flying around.
I guess this is when Danny Elfman is on drugs.
Danny Elfman has made some of the best film scores of all time. He's at least like a top 10 film composer ever.
I'm aware.
And he got his start on, as Oingo Boingo.
As Oingo Boingo.
This is amazing.
I mean, that dragon's not cool.
Yeah, I'm a little disappointed by their color choice.
Their pants are purple.
Oh, he's fighting the dragon. He's on a rocket ship. I didn't know dragons were in space. What? Oh, this is so good. It's all good, boy, good, baby.
Wow. That was blatantly bad.
That was insane.
And I got a very high score from the judging panel.
24 out of 30.
Something like that, yeah.
I'm telling you.
There you go. That's right. The biggest name to get his start on this show.
I think so.
You know, so I was having a hard time figuring out the whole story behind this. I saw little references to it, but I never saw like a full article. Some people claim that Steve Martin got his start here. And some people claim that Steve Martin was once an act, then became a panelist, and then sort of became famous after the fact. I can't find his original appearance. I can only find his appearances as a judge and as a performer later on. The one clip that I see all over the place is after Steve Martin sort of became Steve Martin, and it's of him playing the banjo.
One of our top comedians, and it's been so nice, Steve Martin. Steve.
So I think here he's famous, or maybe he's not.
Not a lot of celebrities are keeping themselves in a state of frenzy. Let's move along. Ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to bring to your attention now a fine musician, the man. I have never seen this man, but I have been told he is something else. I've never seen him perform. Ladies and gentlemen.
Good delivery there, Chuck.
Get out of there, Stevie. Ladies and gentlemen, the Mad Banjo.
And here is Steve Martin. Arrow through the head. Playing banjo in ways that only Steve Martin knows how.
So he's actually very talented at the banjo.
Oh, God, yeah.
Yeah! You ask Steve Martin today in 2017, hey, Steve, what do you do for a living? He's going to tell you I'm a banjo player. You go on his Twitter biography, the first thing it mentions is man with a banjo. You know what I mean? He puts out banjo albums about once a year.
Oh, he does?
Oh, yes. Yeah, he does it.
Can't play Steve. You're on the panel.
Steve? My name's Biff.
Oh, Biff?
You're on the panel.
I'm just trying to be somebody, Chuck.
All right, come on.
I'm just trying to be
somebody. So I'm sort of unclear about where exactly he got his break and what the whole story is behind that, because I've heard a number of versions of Steve Martin's career origins. This
mysterious
is
as the Gong Show, maybe.
Yes. Yeah. This is one of them. Take it for what you will. At the very least, he was very closely associated with the Gong Show. But yeah, you look at like Spotify or something and do Steve Martin, you'll see half comedy albums and half fucking banjo albums.
That drives me nuts.
Why?
No, just the like his like mix up on like who he is.
What do you mean?
Is who he is. He's wrong.
No, he's not. No, he's not.
That's like how Johnny Depp says he's a rock star before he's an actor.
Well, he's not.
Oh.
You know, okay, what I mean? Okay, but no, there's a big difference. Okay, Steve Martin's good.
True.
Johnny Depp's a poser.
Yeah.
Johnny Depp's like an actor that wants to be a rock star.
I don't disagree, but it seems like an identity crisis. That's what it seems like to me.
That's his passion. So
you're like, just pick one?
No, not pick one, but like, when like, significantly less people know you as a banjo player, I don't know, I just find it weird.
I believe the beauty's in the eye of the beholder. Okay. And whatever Steve Martin says he is he's a comedy legend. He can call himself whatever the fuck he wants.
Yeah, well, you're full of shit, so. He
can call himself a horse, and you got it, Steve.
We can identify Woody Allen as someone who's very good at the clarinet instead of a weird director who's possibly a pedophile.
Well, Woody Allen, I don't think Woody Allen calls himself.
I just learned six things about Woody Allen in that one sentence.
We're going to do a Woody Allen movie one of these days.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Man.
I have a cousin named Annie Hall, by the way.
Amazing. Yeah. Amazing. Wow. Woody plays clarinet more than he makes movies.
Yes.
And that's funny to even think about that because he makes a movie once a year and has not taken a year off in decades. But every Monday night, you can go to a local bar. It's in a hotel in New York City, and you can get a ticket for like $200, and it's all formal attire, and it's one of like those classy jazz bars. You go to that club, you sit down, and Woody Allen is sitting there with his band playing clarinet. Yeah. And evidently, it's one of the most surreal experiences you can ever have in New York City. You're just right there, and Woody's playing at the jazz club like any other person does. When he won the Oscar for Annie Hall, they used to air the Oscars on Monday nights. He wins Best Director, skips out on the show because he goes, I'm playing clarinet that night. Can't do it. Can't take a night off. Can't come and win this award, the crowning achievement of my craft, because I got to play with the guys, and has not stopped for decades. Fascinating character, also probably a pedophile.
yep.
Fascinating.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Gene Gene the Dancing Machine. Let's talk about him. What happened to Gene?
All right,
this is so sad.
We looked this up like 2 weeks ago, so I got to look into it again. But I think he had, was it diabetes?
Mm.
Yeah, I think so.
A tragic, ironic, and kind of hilarious ending.
Yeah.
Dancing Machine story. The guy lost both of his legs. And his whole thing was he was known for dancing. And the one thing that he was known for he could no longer do. Because he was wheelchair bound and then died of... whatever, unfortunately.
That's like
causes.
Movie level ironic.
It is. It's like an episode of Curb Your Enthusiasm or something, but way darker.
So apparently, yeah, in 2001, he lost both of his legs due to complications from diabetes.
Wow.
And he wore prosthetics and walked with a cane.
Okay. That's not too bad.
He made it work.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because Gene's a fighter. Gene is a fighter.
Yes, but could he dance?
What?
But could he dance?
He might be able to do a little cha-cha.
Oh, no. He can still dance better than Chuck Barris.
Yes. Are there any other famous acts?
We brought up Danny Elfman. We brought out Paul Rubens.
There was one on here with the Burping Man. Burping Man. Is that it right there?
Yeah, I watched this clip. It was not really... I don't know. It's not really going to pay.
So what does he do?
I got a little bit older, started going to school. And I learned the alphabet.
Oh, God. They all gonged him right away. Wow.
That's so bad.
He was one of a number of very notable acts. Let's pivot. You have fun facts. Read them for us.
Well, no. What else did I have? Oh, yeah, I like this one that Chuck Barris actually did an act and ended up getting gonged as well.
Yeah, it was on the finale, wasn't it?
That's right, yeah. It was the last
show they did.
Which is hilarious.
And he, like, flipped off the cameras and...
Yeah,
yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Hell of an exit, by the way.
Sure. Great exit.
Really, did he really know great. He was, like... Were they already canceled at that point?
No, this was, like, literally, like, the last show they were ever going to do. And everyone knew.
Wow.
So he came on. So he came on before.
Don't let Chuck Barris know that he's not going to be on TV again.
So he came on, flipped off the camera, got gonged.
Is that all he did for his act? Just flip off the camera?
No, he came on and sang, "Take this job and shove it."
Here's an interesting one though. I like this one a lot. It's the $516.32 grand prize wasn't as random as it sounded.
Yep. $516.32.
Yes.
So hold on. I'd like to point out I've been teasing Nick with this for a few hours now.
Yes.
I'm so happy that the three of us know what it is.
Yeah.
And Nick doesn't.
Oh. We should just not share it, and then he'll never know.
This is so funny.
We should just sit here and
right now I'm a child sitting wide-eyed. Oh,
this is great,
and
though.
I'm excited to learn about the world.
Well, no, because when I read it, I'm like, oh, that's cool. And then, and then I thought about it, I'm like, wait, that's kind of a douchey thing
to do.
Exactly.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. So at the end of the show, they would hand you a Gong Show trophy and a check for $513.
$16.32.
And that is okay. For what reason, Adam Hall?
Because it was actually the Screen Actors Guild union scale minimum for one day's work.
Right. It's as much as they could have paid them. As a the absolute bare minimum you got to pay those guys is $500.
And so that's what they paid them.
Wait a minute.
$500?
I'm confused. Wouldn't they have to pay every single person who came on that day?
Yes.
So they paid them all the same amount?
Correct.
Yeah.
So even if you won,
right.
You didn't get anything.
Right.
Yeah.
They only presented the prize
to the
winner.
The check. The award is the presentation of the check.
Yeah. Isn't that amazing? That is fucking amazing.
This is exactly much how we, as much as we have to pay you, this is all you're getting. Because we got to do 5 shows a week, and Chuck Barris is taking too much money buying cocaine or whatever. We're keeping this on a budget.
That's good.
Pretty great.
That's
right?
Some good shit. Pretty I wonder great. What the price is nowadays.
Oh man,
I think it's less.
I wonder what they're gonna give them on the new Gong Show. I mean,
I think it's less.
This will be an interesting, a little side by side we're gonna do in a couple weeks.
They probably don't give
them
shit. They probably have them sign contract saying they're doing it for free.
Yeah, probably right. What else we got there?
I have a fact about the movie.
Okay.
You know, is that the like halfway through production, the original director gave up, and they just let Chuck Barris take over. But do we know? Do you want to know who the original director was?
Who? Oh, no, I do know this, actually, but go ahead.
Robert Downey Sr.
Yes.
Robert Downey Sr. gave up on Chuck Barris.
Yes.
Whoa.
That's great shit. Oh, yeah, by the way, Comedy Central's winning act in 2008 for The Gong Show by Dave Attell. Do you guess how much they were paying their winners? No, you don't, because you clearly know.
$516.32?
No.
How much?
$600.
That's it. Just a
which
little
is
more.
Actually, yeah, which is
more.
Actually... smaller than in from 88 to 89, they did 1 year of it.
Yeah.
The winning prize was 701.
Tell me more about the spinoffs.
Okay, so they took it off air, but then they kept it in syndication. Mm-hmm. So they kept showing it, but they showed it late night. And then they stopped doing that in, I think it was 87 or 88.
And that's when it became like a Potheads type show.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
Right.
And then so from 88 to 89, they brought it back for a year with Don Blue as the host.
I don't know who that is.
Neither do I. Never heard of him.
What they didn't realize is that Chuck Barris really was the show.
Yeah.
It was all him. I mean, like, it was. You enjoyed having fun with him. You didn't want to see any of the bad acts. You can see bad acts on any street corner in America.
Yeah.
You know?
I
wonder if the new host is going to be able to bring in that same energy.
Oh, we'll find out.
We'll find out.
I have a feeling he won't have that hard a time.
Yeah.
I agree, even though we know nothing about him.
Well, absolutely.
So after that 1 year, they decided 10 years later to bring it back again. On GSN.
Of course.
Nico and my favorite channel.
The best channel.
The greatest channel. Hosted by George Gray. Only ran for a year.
I know George Gray. George Gray is the announcer on The Price is Right.
Oh, is he?
That's George Gray.
The announcer.
Yes. Also the host of The Weakest Link spinoff. You ever watch that
really?
Show? Yeah. George Gray.
The winner on that show received $317.69.
Wait, less?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Was that the minimum at the time?
I don't know.
It was probably, in addition to whatever we paid you for the day. Here's an extra $300.
But then...
Oh, it probably evened out to like an extra $1,000 or something.
Why would you ever want to go on the Gong Show?
Because!
Well, no, because of this.
Okay.
Okay. In August of 99. Okay, so Extreme... Not Extreme, but the... Extreme Gong ran from October of 98 to October of 99. In August of 99... they did a 1 hour special, and the winner got $10,000.
Oh. Pretty good.
Yep.
Pretty good.
Yep.
GSM, by the way, has been in the Gong Show business for a while. I don't know why I remember this, but about 10 years ago, they made a documentary about Chuck Barris.
Did they really?
Called Chuck Barris, might be Confessions of a Dangerous Mind, actually. And I watched it, and I remember being riveted by it. And I wonder if I would feel the same way. But this is during the phase where I was obsessed with game shows, which still exists. But really, again, a fascinating character that we'll get into in the upcoming weeks, I guess.
Yeah. And then after that was the Comedy Central Gong Show with Dave Attell.
Yep.
Weird choice.
Lasted for 8 weeks.
I remember that.
Yep.
I do too, actually. Now that I'm thinking back to it.
Yeah.
2000.
Weird choices.
And, I remember a lot of weird Comedy Central shows.
Yeah.
That doesn't surprise me.
And then a live stage version was in 2010 in Times Square. Mm-hmm. Or not in Times Square, but in the area of Times Square.
Broadway? Off-Broadway? Probably off-Broadway.
It was at B.B. King's Blues Club.
Okay.
I don't know where that is.
That's
except
cool.
Yep.
Sounds cool.
Yeah. But then, so I didn't know this, but Will Arnett is the producer of the new one.
Right.
Which I didn't know.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Yes. Will Arnett is, they claim, it's his idea that the Gong Show's coming back. I don't know if that's true. I don't know if it's a buddy that said something to Will Arnett or they just brought him on as a name after the fact.
What a random person.
Will Arnett is putting his name to this and has gotten a number of prominent celebrity panelists who we're going to see in the upcoming weeks. Jennifer Aniston's going to be on the new Gong Show.
What?
Jack Black's going to be on the new Gong Show.
That doesn't surprise me.
let's see. We got Zach Galifianakis is going to be on. Will Arnett will be a judge.
Doesn't surprise me.
Yeah. We'll see. We'll see how that goes. Yeah. We'll get to that in the upcoming weeks.
Maybe Jennifer Aniston will pull some J.P. Morgan.
Yeah. Yes. So let's talk.
If there's a god.
Well, there isn't. So.
Oh.
Okay.
Anything else before we get to the death of the Gong Show?
The first death.
Yes.
Well, the show is a vicious feline with nine lives.
The good Friday of the Gong Show.
The good Friday. Oh, wow.
It will rise again. With a has-been actor as its host. Anything else? This actor was a pretty good... Mike Winslow? He was in the Police Academy movie?
Oh, the one who does the sounds?
Yeah.
He's awesome.
No, Mike Winslow's...
Oh, my God. Is he wearing a magician's hat?
Yes, he is.
And a...
Is he wearing a jersey?
It looks like a Green Bay jersey.
I believe it's a Celtics jersey, but I think he comes back on a couple minutes later with a totally different jersey.
Really?
So he just changes jerseys the whole show.
Oh, he just did it. He just did the fake-out clap.
Yeah.
All right. Ladies and gentlemen, here comes Mike Winslow. Good, Mike.
Also in Spaceballs.
He was in Spaceballs.
Yeah.
We're missing the boots, the swoops, and the creeps.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm Paul Rudin-Lan on behalf of the personnel here at NBC and The Gong Show. We thank you for watching this channel. If you're not watching this channel, you're probably watching the other channel on the other network.
Benji, my doggy! I'm away!
You're probably watching the other network. Star Trek. Warp Factor 6. Energize. Or you are watching the other network.
Come on, buddy. Put down that chainsaw.
Oh, my God.
My name is Jimmy.
Please.
Look at the having space.
All in my brain. Things are funny. Don't seem the same.
Did he win?
Wow. I hope. I don't know.
That was all mouth sounds, just so you know, guys.
Yeah, that was very good.
Every single bit there was sounds from his mouth.
Yeah.
Holy shit. I wanted to speak and like let them know what they were listening to.
Yeah.
But I was just so awestruck.
Captivated. Mike Winslow.
No, Mike Winslow.
Wow.
Mike Winslow does a lot of great comedy bits.
That's yeah. Good. One of those guys from the 80s that is, you know. Again, what one of those like just shooting stars that just sort of passed by and you're like, oh, there it goes.
Yeah.
So this bit that we're about to watch here.
Here's my question about this one.
It's not, well, first off, it's not very audio captivating, so we can probably just play it while we talk.
No, right.
So should we just go ahead?
Set it up first. Set it up first.
Okay, Adam, take it away.
No, I'm just going to start by asking a question.
Okay.
And maybe you can work off seven. Of that. Were they trying to get canceled?
No.
No, this was Chuck Barris trying to get past the censors. With the most lewd thing he could think of.
Here's what I'll say. This is an act. What you're about to hear are two girls walking onto the stage, crisscrossing their legs.
Sitting
down on the ground.
Crisscross applesauce, that's right.
As they begin licking something. These girls were referred to on the show as Have You Got a Nickel? And have since been... nicknamed the Popsicle Twins. And here's the clip. Oh, great. Well, that was a great DJ setup and totally... No!
And...
All right.
Okay, yeah, here we go. And this is the Popsicle
Twins. Ladies and gentlemen, one of the girls in this next act says her hobbies are boys and first aid. I guess that means that on weekends, she cruises Hollywood Boulevard in an ambulance. Thanks a lot, Mark. I love this hat. Oh, now this has some substance. It's about time we had substance on this show. Okay, here comes Have You Got a Nickel?
Knowing the context and his words.
Wow. Wow. Oh, God.
So these two girls are skipping. They're crisscrossed. They have two popsicles in their hands. And now they are sucking on them. They are deep-throating these giant popsicles.
Oh, my God.
Now the tongues are out. And as you can hear, there are men doing catcalls. The audience is way too into this. Hey, it was the 70s.
With LSD on the tip of the popsicles.
My favorite thing about this clip is Chuck Barris has gone on to say that getting these girls on here was...
And the judges are no longer in their seats.
Yep.
I love you.
Whoa, wait, what? Did they just walk away?
Fellas, what do you think of Have You Got a Nickel?
Is that Phyllis Diller? Yes, it is. That's right.
Zero.
I feel it's gonna give her a zero.
They love it though.
Nobody is.
They don't give a shit.
Zero. Jamie Farr.
I don't think they give a lick.
Two. JP Moore Brown.
Do you know that that's the way I started?
Ten. Oh wow.
Thanks a lot.
All right. This is the act that is responsible for killing the Gong Show, essentially. Yeah. This was the one step too far that Chuck Barris took, an act that was, for the time, probably fairly risque, but now we look at it not so much as risque, but incredibly sexist. My Lord, was it sexist. The act, the two women, we come to find out after the fact, they looked pretty young in this video. They're dressed pretty young. They're sort of emulating school children. Turns out they were 17, each of them, when they were on this year's show.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Whoa. Well,
now that I didn't know.
So that's a bit of a problem. But the story behind this is what's so fascinating, because what Chuck Barris claimed after the fact is that there were a lot of acts that would come on the Gong Show that the network deemed as inappropriate, that they would censor and not let on the air. And he disagreed with them. He thought that they weren't too bad and they should be able to get on the air. And perhaps they were sort of teetering on the edge of inappropriate. Mm. he let these two on the show with the intention of getting them censored. He thought there is no way that this is going to get on the air. And if I make a point by bringing these two on, it'll maybe push the needle in the other direction, and it may allow some of those acts that are on the edge to get on the air, right? So this was his way of sort of recalibrating what the censors were feeling. Kind of backfired because it ended up getting on the air, and the backlash that they received was almost unbearable, and actually was unbearable, and the show got canceled for
it. Wow.
Pretty crazy.
Now, do you think the censors let it happen so they would have an excuse to cancel? Do you think it was that far, or do you think it just slipped their cracks, you know?
I don't know.
That's a Gong Show conspiracy. George Clooney should make a movie about it. I don't know, man. It's pretty, like, even for the 70s, I can't see that being okay. You know, it's, and again, it's for two different reasons. Then it's just obscene and inappropriate. Yeah. Like, you can't air that on daytime television. But now it's just like, that's objectifying women in ways that are unimaginable. You know what I mean? Like, that would never be on television today, especially 17-year-olds. Have You Got a Nickel? Show gets canceled. And what started as a cult classic ends in a way that cult classics generally do. Flaming out and with lots of shame and disgrace.
As they should.
Yes.
Yeah, as they should.
It's like my sex life.
Right.
Oh, boy.
Flaming out.
I don't talk about it. It was a hard month.
Having sex with two 17-year-olds? Is that what you're saying?
That's not what I said.
Two 17-year-olds sucking your popsicle?
That is inappropriate.
Man, that's the Gong. That's pretty much it, right? That's the oral history of the Gong Show. I think we've hit everything.
That's an appropriate way to wrap this up for now.
Yeah, man. A weird period of popular culture. Just a weird little thing that has existed. One that I brought to Nick's attention a couple of months ago, and it was like, we have to podcast about this. And I have a feeling that it's going to bear a lot more fruit in the coming weeks, for sure.
You said this is a daily show?
Yeah.
Or do you mean 5 days a week?
Yep.
Yeah.
So, daytime.
So 5 days a week for 12 years. Mm-hmm. Now, was this full year round, or did it have like a seasons?
Probably September to June, probably.
Wow.
Yeah,
that's fascinating.
I think there was
501 episodes.
Wow,
there
Holy
you go.
Shit.
Yep,
501.
Now,
how does that wait? How does that?
I don't know. I'm like 95%
over
sure.
Multiple runs.
Yeah,
over multiple runs and specials and all that. But the final count of every incarnation of the Gong Show has had 501 episodes.
Oh boy.
Okay. And there you go.
Now, I would just like to point out: has anyone gone to the IMDb page?
No.
So I'm on it now. Okay. I'll read the only piece of good trivia.
Okay.
And then I want you to guess how many episodes they credited on the IMDb page. All
right.
Okay. So, there's three pieces of trivia for the Gong Show on mm-hmm. IMDb, which mm-hmm. I'm shocked at.
Awesome.
But the only interesting one is, in a poll conducted in May of 2009 by the O'Reilly Factor.
Okay.
Reveal that this series was voted the fourth worst TV show in broadcast history.
Oh, the O'Reilly audience. This is awful.
Wait for the other ones.
All right.
Number one was My Mother, the Car.
Never even heard of it.
It's literally about this guy whose mother is a car.
Okay. I got that part.
Yeah. That's number one. Number two is Jerry Springer.
Makes sense.
Okay. Makes sense.
Probably should be number one.
I'm going to come back to number three because I'm pissed about it.
All right.
Okay. Number five is Cop Rock.
Never heard of it.
Never heard of it.
But number three is Friends.
Yes, that's right. That's correct. That's accurate.
Worse?
You hate Friends.
Accurate.
Okay.
I don't particularly like Friends, but worst of all time?
Yeah.
Number three?
It was number three.
I don't think that makes sense.
Okay, that's just
it. Makes no sense.
No show could air that many seasons, and
that's just wrong.
Bad. That. I mean, I guess the Gong Show aired
twice. Oh, wait a minute. Jerry Springer's been on for 30 years.
Actually, yeah, Jerry Springer's been on forever.
It's the worst of humanity. Of course, Friends was popular. Doesn't mean it's good. Friends was very popular. Not funny.
Wasn't Jerry Springer a mayor?
Yes, he was mayor of Chicago.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was a politician.
Yeah, he was.
Decided to do that shit. And probably could stage a comeback if he wanted.
He wrote a check, didn't he?
I think he's thinking about running for governor.
Is he?
No.
Yeah.
Is he really?
Yeah, I heard it the other day.
Are you serious?
Yeah. I think so.
He could probably do well.
Against Kasich? Probably would, yeah.
Yeah.
Kasich? Is that what you said?
Yeah.
Against Kasich.
Ohio, governor of Ohio. Yeah, that, I mean, listen. he was probably thinking to himself, man, I could never be in politics again after all this shit I put on TV. yeah. But another reality TV host is president now, so why not?
Oh, my God.
I think I read that somewhere.
My good friend Donald. A flawed poll, nonetheless. Yes. A flawed poll.
A very select audience, though, mind you. I mean,
yes. The O'Reilly Factor viewership is not necessarily the authority on bad
especially
TV shows.
The viewership who's going to actually go there and vote. Yes. Those are the hardcore.
Right.
You know.
AARP cardholders.
yes. Now.
Who can also use a computer.
Right.
To vote.
Now, on IMDb.
It's like three people.
on IMDb, guess how many shows they have credited to The Gong Show.
Guess how many what?
How many episodes?
Oh, you said there's 501.
There's more?
I think that's just of this version.
I don't know why. What's your point?
980.
No. If you go to 12. The Gong Show and either go all episodes or all cast, they credit 5 episodes.
Well, that's...
what?
Someone needs to...
5 episodes.
Someone needs to update the IMDb.
Season 1... It says episode 1, episode 22, episode 34, and then if you go other, it said episode dated 16 January 78.
What?
And episode dated 23 February 78.
Well, we need to clean up the Gong Show on IMDb. I think if that says anything, it is yes. We need to update the fun facts. We got to get that episode count up.
How many people are credited? If you click on all people.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11,
12. Oh, do you have to manually 12, count?
Yeah, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18.
Welcome to Zach yeah. Counts Things.
No, it's a lot of people.
I thought it was going to be like a number. Like,
no, it's...
I don't want you to count everyone, Zach. You should have said, I don't know.
Don't ask him a direct question.
Yeah,
like
you
that.
Didn't ask me something like that.
You didn't even answer.
What's wrong with you?
It's how you deal with retards.
Whoa.
Sorry.
Mentally jumped.
Awesome, guys. This is fun. Wow. Happy Chuck Barris month. We'll be back next week. If you are so inclined, take a look at the Gong Show movie. I don't know if it's streaming anywhere, but track it down, get the Blu-ray, whatever you got to do, and we'll talk about it a little bit next week. This is going to be a fun journey,
oh, yeah.
And I can't wait
yep.
for each and every second of it. Too Many Thoughts, media.com, tmt.media. We're on Facebook. We're on Twitter.
That's right.
What's everybody's Twitters?
Tacky Slacks.
At Zach Kapp.
Good question.
Funny Nico tweets.
I have no
it's
Twitter
not
yet.
At good question.
That would be a great. Handle. Oh, no, that'd be a good handle.
If I could secure that for you right now.
yeah, no. If he can get it, that's your handle.
Good question.
Good question.
Good question.
It's actually also a pretty good name for a website. yes. Awesome. There's a new show called Movie Hopping. Subscribe to it on iTunes. There'll hopefully be an iTunes feed up over the next couple of days by the time that you're hearing this. Adam and I's new movie podcast. There's also video of part of it.
Yeah.
On the YouTube channel. Well, don't even. You know, we don't have to admit our mistakes. No apologies. Okay. Absolutely not.
Fine.
Fuck them. They don't need video.
It was perfect.
It was perfect.
It was perfect. There's nothing wrong
went
with it.
Down without a hitch. We talked about the newest Alien Covenant.
Yeah.
Or the newest Alien movie, Alien Covenant. Nick and Zachary, you have a show called Backers.
Backers, yep.
Why don't you tell the people about that there?
We each pick one or two Kickstarters to talk about, and then we actually put some money towards it.
That's right.
So
we found some fascinating ones.
You found some weird shit.
Yeah. We found a reusable satellite. Basically, when satellites get too old, they just stop working and they float around forever like space debris. So we found a reusable satellite that comes back down to Earth. Zach found some...
Some jewelry that I think is pretty cool, made out of old coins and stuff. So if you want to see it...
Cool stuff.
Yeah, if you want to see it, go look up Becker's videos on YouTube.
Yep.
Right? JimmyThoughtsMedia.com.
JimmyThoughtsMedia.
We'll get you a feed so people can subscribe as well.
Yep.
We'll do that. And we gotta do artwork and everything. And
yeah.
You know what? This new website release just went down without a hitch.
Absolutely.
No problems whatsoever.
Not a single one. I can't think of a single one.
Yes.
It's been perfect.
Absolutely. We're building something here, and you're gonna build it one brick at a time.
We're starting from scratch again.
Yes.
Just kind of, you know, but I was just telling Zach, it's kind of exciting.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it is.
Building from the ground up again, you know?
Very much so. Very much so. It's all great.
Stick with us. Email us. Tweet us. Facebook us. We want to talk to you.
Yes. That's right.
Yep.
Anything else?
Keep coming in.
You've all been naughty.
That's my line. Naughty.
All right. That's why we let you do that, because you can't do the British accent.
Because
you
can't do it. Yeah.
Sounds horrible. Do it again.
You've all been naughty.
No.